desire a special interest in your prayers. I feel very needy tonight. I have a very heavy burden on my heart. The Lord gave me this message, knowing that we had plans to come to this meeting, and the Lord gave me this message for this meeting. I didn't know when, and just asked that the Spirit of the Lord would take His word tonight and shed it abroad in our hearts wherever it's needed. Written on the board, under a cloud. And I'm not speaking about cumulus clouds tonight. When you look up at the sky and you see the white fluffy clouds, I like clouds. And I grew up in Oregon. I even like the dark ones that cover the sky. And they make me feel at home when it happens here. But I don't want to live under those dark clouds spiritually. And there is a cloud of God's presence that's a good cloud to live under. But I want to talk about a cloud tonight that's very unpleasant to live under and to dwell under. And that is under a cloud of guilt. Living under a cloud of shame. And a cloud of blame. I'd like to begin with a familiar passage over in the 8th chapter of John. There was a woman that was brought to Jesus that was caught in the very act of adultery. And in John chapter 8, we'll begin reading with verse 4. Said verse 3, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, if we can let our minds go back and picture this scene of this woman being brought by a bunch of men and putting her in the middle, probably surrounding her, saying, Lord, Master, this woman right here was caught in the act of adultery. Now this woman, I am sure, was under a cloud. If there ever was a cloud, she was under a cloud. She was being accused. She knew what she had been doing, and she had committed the sin. She had made a willful transgression, and she was the one that was chiefly responsible for her sin. And yet now her sin was exposed. Do you know that when sin is exposed, it has a way of magnifying shame and guilt? When sin is exposed. But you know, sin is the same tonight, whether it has been exposed or not. If there is sin in your life tonight, there's guilt before God. But what are we going to do with that? Do we need to stay living under a cloud of sin tonight? This woman was brought to Jesus and it was exposed and it was open. And they were asking because they were tempting Christ. And they said, now Moses in the law commanded us. Now they were quoting the scripture. Moses in the law commands us. It wasn't just we read about Moses. We're wanting to be definitive now. That this woman, that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? What sayest thou, Lord? What would it be like tonight if the Lord, and I want, as we look into the Word of God, I want us all tonight, the Lord has such a great love for all of us. The Lord has such a great love for us, and I'm so thankful that He looks on us tonight, and He is still moved with compassion. And I wonder what tonight the Lord would do if you just walked down through the aisles one by one and everything in our life was exposed. And people said, what sayest thou about this? Can I pick on you, Brother Ivan? Lord, what do you say about him? What do you say? What do you say about Brother Michael Gillen back here? Lord, what do you say about this? And what do you think about the time it came to your spot? Because we know the story of what happened. Jesus didn't respond to that. And he knelt down in the dust and began to write. We can extrapolate from the scripture possibly what he did. Very possibly he began to write from the eldest to the youngest. Because that's how their exit was. He began to write something in the dust, maybe their sin. See, you have brought this woman that's under a cloud now with guilt and shame, and it's exposed to everyone, but he that is without sin cast the first stone. What sayest thou? What about infractions of people that you know tonight? What about their shame? What about their guilt? But most importantly, what about ours? Guilt, shame, maybe blame. What do you say, Lord? And so she looked up as they exited one by one. Because see, they did not want their shame to be exposed. And yet, it was living under that cloud in their own life that caused them to walk away. And so Jesus looked up and he said, "Where are thine accusers?" He said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" In verse 10, he said, "Hath no man condemned thee?" Where are those that were calling for judgment? One by one, they had left. And Jesus said unto her, "Neither." Oh, I thank God for these words tonight. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. But he said, go and sin no more." You don't have to stay under the cloud anymore. You have come under a cloud of guilt. But when we come to the feet of Jesus, as was sung, when we come into the presence of the Lord, he did not come to condemn tonight. He did not come to place a judgment and a sentence of death upon us. Rather, he came to deliver us. He came to liberate us. He came to set us free from the very power of the thing that caused the guilt. He came to set us free that we would not have to live under a cloud of shame anymore. And so he told her to go and sin no more. Do you realize that Jesus was not dismissing the accusation? He was not covering it up. He was not excusing it. But rather in his love, he was forgiving her and offering her redemption. And he was offering her an alternative to living under a cloud of guilt and shame. And so he said, "I'm not condemning you," but he said, "I want you to go now and you have responsibility and go and sin no more." And the unspoken that we know was in other parts of the scripture is, "By my power, by my grace, by my strength, you can go and sin no more and eradicate the very thing in your life that was causing you to live under a cloud of guilt and shame." Thank the Lord. She was released at this time to go and live a productive, loving life. She was set free to go back home. Go in the marketplace and people looked on her. Said, "Oh, you know who that woman is. You know what she did?" Do you realize Jesus did something in her that would enable her not to have to hold her head down anymore? The Lord, in meeting Jesus, you didn't have to go and slink around in the marketplace. Because when people said, "Aren't you that adulterous woman?" Here's what she could say. "I used to be that woman, but thank God, I'm not the way I used to be. Thank the Lord I met the Savior, and he made a change in my life. And now I'm living a life of faithfulness and purity." And she could go and look people in the eye and not have to put her head down anymore because she had met the Savior. This is the good news of the gospel tonight, that we don't have to live under a cloud anymore. Jesus came to deliver us, that we could live a life of freedom in sunshine. You know what takes care of clouds? It's when the sun comes out, those dark clouds, when it's hovering over and the sun comes out and it burns that mist away. That's what happens when we come into the presence of Jesus Christ. The Word of God will begin to take root and it will change our life. I remember my pastor, and I know the younger ones don't remember Brother Austin Wilson, but He used to say someone who'd come along, he asked someone, he said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I guess I'm all right under the circumstances." And Brother Austin's response was, "What are you doing under the circumstances?" I'd like to ask you tonight, how are you doing? How are you really doing? I'm not talking about your, what is this, Wednesday now. I'm not talking about your Wednesday night smile. I'm talking about what's going on down in your heart. I'm talking about what bothers you. What's constantly on your mind. Are you living under a cloud tonight? Do you know that you don't have to stay living under a cloud tonight? There are some clouds of guilt and shame, and we'll get to the other, but there are some times living there that it's not always just one trip to the altar and it's all over. But it can begin that process of healing. There is deliverance in the Lord Jesus tonight, but there are things that the Lord began to work that I have been living under for so long of my past, that the Lord came to deliver us from the power of the sin of the past and the shame of the past and the guilt of the past. There's a song that says, "I lost my past when I came into His presence," thank God. When we come into the presence of the Lord and we humble our heart to Him tonight, the Lord will do a divine work. And so this lady, if she had not received of that, she could not have been the mother to her children that she should have been. Because how can I be a good mother? I mean, I was caught in adultery and I can't be a good mother anymore. Do you realize that shame and guilt will paralyze us from being productive in other parts of life? Guilt and shame will keep us from being productive. It will hinder us in so many different areas. And so she could have said that. She could have not held her head up anymore. And every time she went somewhere, she would have been plagued with this thinking of, in these thoughts of, what are they thinking of me? I saw Brother Danny looked at me, and I preached times before, and people said, "When you said that, you looked at me." So I look at everybody when I preach. If the Lord's talking to you, I don't want to interfere with that, but I'm not looking at trying to get a point across. But this woman, because of guilt, you know that's what guilt does? They looked at me when they said that. Do you realize she could have left there without accepting the presence of the Lord in her life? She could have left that place and continued under that cloud. But instead, she found something from the Lord. I believe tonight, because I know the Lord, that she was able to go with a smile on her face. And when people looked on her, it's like, "I'm not that person anymore. I'm not living under that cloud anymore. I can go and begin to grow as a mother. I can one more time go and see my parents. I can go to my parents' house now and I don't have to duck my head or be afraid when the preacher comes up and says, 'How you doing spiritually?' and start stuttering and, 'Well, I'm trying,' and all the time we know there's this shame and this guilt in our life. She was able to go back to mom and dad's house and look him in the eye and say, 'I love you. I'm not the same person I used to be because the Lord met me and changed my life.'" Thank God that we do not have to live under a cloud of guilt tonight. I thank God for that. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, very familiar passage. "There is therefore now," no what? "No condemnation." To who? "To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." See, that's a twofold thing now. If we are in Christ Jesus, there's no more condemnation. And if the Lord tonight has forgiven you from your sin, you are not condemned anymore. We do not have to continue to live with guilt and shame because of past transgressions when they have been washed in the blood of Jesus. He wants to bring about a healing in our minds, a healing in our perspectives, because the enemy would like to tether us to the past. The enemy would like to keep our past transgressions ever before us to keep us from being productive in the kingdom of God. And the Lord has a place for all of us to fill in the kingdom of God. So we need to come out from under the cloud if we're under one. There's no condemnation. Because see, according to the letter of the law, this woman had transgressed. And the Lord recognized that this is an adulterous woman. She has sinned. And without Christ, there will be death. But with Christ, there was deliverance. According to the letter of the law, we are condemned tonight. But the beauty of the gospel message is that there is pardon. And that there is forgiveness. And it doesn't matter how badly you transgress the law of God. And you know, this is not just for people out in gross sin out in the world. Oh, do you know, it doesn't matter how we were raised or how we grew up. All of us were in need of a Savior. Which means there are things in all of our past that when you think about it, bring some shame. Maybe some embarrassment, some guilt, but then I remember the blood. Then I think of a greater power of what the blood of Jesus did, that it brought deliverance and pardon and forgiveness, that we need not tonight live under that cloud anymore, because Jesus Christ came to break the power of it. I used to be that. Remember when Paul was speaking, wasn't it Paul? And he was talking about those that would not inherit the kingdom of God, and the adulterers and the fornicators and the drunkards and the idolaters and all of those things. And he said, and such were some of you. Thank God it didn't stop there. But he said, such were some of you, but you have been washed and you have been cleansed. You've been justified. Thank God. Such were some of you, but through the power of God, you've been delivered. And we're not living under a cloud of condemnation anymore. We're not living under a death sentence anymore. And when we get up in the morning, we don't have to hold our head down any longer with guilt and shame because of what Jesus has done in our life. For people that have known truth, people rather to start with that have not known truth, there is a real freedom in being delivered from guilt and shame. There's just a cleanness and a wholesomeness just to be able to know that all of my sins have been forgiven. All of the people that we've hurt, all of the destruction we've left in our path, the Lord has erased that. And He will forgive us and set us free. But do you know that sometimes, for people that have been saved and fallen in failure, fallen back to sin, there is such a depth of quiet guilt and shame. Every time I come to church service and feels like I'm just not good enough. It's not working for me because I'm just dealing with these failures. They may be very private. They may be very secret. Not everybody may know about them. But all the time, you know, living under this cloud. And it seems like we're not liberated. There's not joy living under this kind of cloud, is there? There's no joy. There's no happiness. And what happens too many times is people that are living under a cloud of guilt and shame and blame of others, many times they start placing that on everybody. If I'm living under this cloud, then you must be too. And then they start judging, well, nobody has victory because I don't have victory. There is a place of victory tonight, folks. There's a place of true deliverance from the power of sin. And there is also not only deliverance, there is a place of healing. Thank you, Lord. Have you found it? Some of you testify to that, that there is a place of healing where there was guilt and where there was shame. And to the young people tonight, I know what it's like to get saved at a young age. I was saved at 5 years old, and I remember when the Lord talked to my heart, and in tears I sought God. It was real what the Lord did for me. But I still had to grow up. I still had to grow up. And in that growing up, as my dad says, there's a worn path on the carpet from my seat to the altar. I thank God for that path. I thank God for that. There's a place in growing up that I knew where I could go in my struggles. There's a place that we could go, and the Lord was not there to condemn, but He was there to minister to and help and strengthen that we could grow in Him. I thank God for that tonight. But there is a place that sometimes the enemy would like to cheat the saints' children right here. Living under a cloud of just guilt and shame because I'm struggling and it seems like I'm falling short of what I know I need to be. In that feeling of that oppression of I can never be good enough. Oh, I thank God we are not saved by our works tonight, but we are saved by the power of Jesus Christ. We are saved because of His blood. But when His blood has been applied, it brings about a change in our life. It enables us to say no to sin. And yet, for those that have been saved from childhood, I think all of us would have to freely acknowledge that there were some places along the lines of some failures that we had to come back to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. My heart is to serve You, and I don't even know where I'm at right now. See, I like every T to be crossed and every I dotted, but I found something. I found that sometimes with the Lord, we just come as we are and say, Lord, I don't even know how to exactly tell You where I am, but all I know is I love You and I don't have the victory in this area of my life like I need. And Lord, I just come and present myself because I don't want to live under a cloud. I want to be free and I want to experience the joy of the Lord. The Lord can do that for all of us tonight. The Lord longs to do that for you. If you're living under a cloud tonight, the Lord longs for you to be able to leave this evening and just have that sweet rest in your heart because I came to the Lord and I gave Him my burdens. I gave Him all this stuff and I don't even understand how I got here. But Lord, I'm just going to bring it to You. And Lord, I need You to do what only You can do. And He'll do it. He's good at it. Thank the Lord. He's wonderful at, you know, over in the book of Joel, and this is oft quoted, but in the book of Joel, in the second chapter, in the 25th verse, He said, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. There was a consequence to their sin. And you know, the locusts came and the worms came, and they not only devoured what the children of Israel should have been eating right then, they destroyed the buds on the plants. They barked the trees, as it were, so the fruit would not grow. So now not only is it our present that has been affected, the locusts affected the future. And that's exactly what sin does in our lives. It does not only affect our present, but it affects our tomorrow. And yet, the Lord told them, I will restore to you. In other words, where if I would have left things as they were, you would have not only been hungry today, you would have been hungry next year. But I'm going to come in and work a miracle here that you can actually be satisfied. There is a price to pay to sin tonight. There is a penalty in this life. If someone does things that are harmful to their body, even when they get saved, there can still be some consequences. There are still some consequences in relationships that have been broken because of sin. But there is a spiritual liberation that the Lord can give to all of us, that we no longer have to live under a cloud that affects me today. But He said, I'm going to do something for you and restore something in your life that you can actually be satisfied. And so then that brings a question. Are we satisfied tonight? Are we satisfied? Are we experiencing the real peace of God? Or are we still living under a cloud? And the Lord wants to start a work to dispel the clouds of guilt and shame in life. The blood of Jesus can work a certain kind of a cure. It's a perfect cure. It does it entirely. And I don't understand how it all works, but I do know it works. He can take the vilest sins and He can still transform lives that people can go and say, I don't know what happened, but I met the Lord and something's different. And for those that are under that cloud of shame tonight, and if you're there, you know it. It doesn't take someone next to you telling. You know what it's like in your private life. You know where you are with the Lord. And there's just that oppression and in that shame of some things in your life. The Lord has an answer tonight. There is still an answer, thank God, that He can come in and restore and actually bring satisfaction spiritually to our lives. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus did not send that adulterous woman away. In other words, He received her. I want us to know tonight, this is just basic, simple, plain gospel. But for each and every one of us here tonight, the Lord loves you. And He cares about you. And He will accept you as if you will make a decision to come to Him. And He loves you. And we need not live under that cloud of failure, self-condemnation, that I'm just not good enough. Because people start believing that lie. That sometimes there can be the cloud the size of a man's hand. I'm not talking about the good ones now. There can be a small cloud and people look at it and they blow, and pretty soon it's big and enormous and they start believing a lie about themselves. The enemy wants to make you think that you cannot live a life of victory. The enemy wants you to make you feel like that you'll never be good enough. And when people live under this cloud, there are consequences and effects of it, because it brings about feelings of spiritual inadequacy. I can just never be good enough. I can never quite measure up. You need to start placing your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and not yourself. You need to start looking to the Lord. We can start perceiving ourselves as just flawed. Something's wrong with me. More than everybody else. I mean, I'm struggling. I'm having these personal things that no one else knows about. And something is just wrong with me. You know, there is something wrong with all of us without the saving power of Jesus Christ. We can look at the sinfulness of our world, but if it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be one of them. And you would too. But God. But Jesus Christ came and He loved us. And He said, I don't want you to live in condemnation. I want to give you deliverance. I want to give you satisfaction. I want to give you the ability to go back home in what has marred your homes. The devil is working so hard on marriages tonight. Young and old, newlyweds and those that have been married 50 and 60 years. The enemy is working hard on marriages. Do you know tonight there is a place that marriages that have been under a cloud, there is a place of deliverance that the Lord can begin to tear down walls and begin to work and restore the joy of the home. That's God's business tonight. He's interested in marriages. He's interested in the relationships between the young people and their parents. There are people that are living under clouds because of what you did. Young folks, I want to tell you, the enemy, if you fall short, and all of you have, we all have, and you look back and maybe you've done some things that bring a lot of shame, you don't have to stay under that anymore. You don't have to live under that. That does not have to define who you are today. That does not have to define your future, because there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can renew and He can restore. But what happens sometimes when people live under this cloud for so long is begin to blame. Blame themselves. Blame others. Blame the people in the congregation. Blame the ministry. Blame my parents. It is my parents' fault. Do you know what happens? You exacerbate those things. Folks, when you start blaming people, there's no end to it. Pretty soon they can be reaching out in love and you think they're ready to slap you and they're just reaching out to give you a hug. But that's what living under a cloud does. But when we bring the guilt and the shame and the transgression and bring the hurts and the pain of the past, bring those things to the Lord, and there's healing and there's deliverance. There's a process. There's an instantaneous deliverance of sin. And then there's a process of healing that starts to be at work. When we say, Lord, I don't want that to define me anymore. I don't want to be living under that cloud. That everything that happens, it revolves around this one thing in my mind. And it might be my sin, or it might be sin that was committed against me. I know that all of us are products of our environment to a certain extent. We are all our personalities. We have been defined to an extent by the things that have happened to us. But where there are areas in our life that others have hurt us, those that have been abused physically and emotionally tonight, there is a place that those things are going to be with us in life, because that is our past. Our forgetter's not as good as God's. And those things shape us sometimes, but there's a place of deliverance that those things do not have to continually define who I am, because I'm pointing back at what someone else did in blame. And so now I can't be productive. Living under that cloud is bondage tonight. And there's a place in Jesus Christ of beginning to bring healing to that. That we're not identified by past injustices. We're not identified by what they did to me. We're not identified to what I did. But now we're identified and we're finding liberty in the forgiveness, in the power of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. Oh Lord, bless tonight. People's relationships that live under a cloud get so toxic sometimes. You know, people that live under clouds of guilt and shame and blame, they often lash out at the people that love them the most. So may I encourage you tonight, if there's people that you love that are lashing out, just please understand and love them. And understand, they're living under a cloud. But there's a place of deliverance for them, so keep loving, saints. Keep loving them. Keep loving them. Jesus said, I don't condemn you, but I'm here to offer hope. That's what the Lord can do in relationships and in lives and families. Because the other thing that this can do, and I especially, again, young folks, I just want to encourage you with this, that sometimes when it can eventually lead, our desire for victory can lead to almost a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure. That I don't have victory and I just have this guilt and this shame. And so everything is defined by that. And pretty soon it just fills so much shame, people just start going back to the very thing that they're ashamed of. And they go back and start feeding on the very things that they're wanting deliverance from. Brother years ago told me, he said, if the saints... He had made some decisions that I think he felt checked on later in life. And he said, if the saints will just let me sit in the back seat. You know what I told him? I said, brother, you come on to Springfield. We've got a front seat for you. There's a front seat up here in Guthrie too. You don't have to sit. Say, I just can't lift my head up. Oh no, The Lord loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done tonight, but we do have some responsibility. Because the guilt of yesterday does not need to define us today. And the shame of yesterday does not need to define our tomorrows. But the scripture says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess what? Our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I say, Lord, I want to get out from under this cloud. Where do I start? If we confess, you know, that's humbling. That's bringing out, just humbling ourselves, just saying, I'm not going to blame anybody else anymore. I'm not going to hide it, and I'm not going to cover it. I'm not going to justify it. But Lord, here I am, and I'm confessing, Lord, this is what I've done, and this is where I am. Do you realize that acknowledgement is the first place to deliverance and healing in the gospel? Because that's where confession comes from. And repentance is turning away from it. Lord, I've been caught in adultery and I'm ashamed and I'm embarrassed. And what are all the saints going to think of me? And the Lord said, I don't condemn you. Oh, but everybody else is. They all left. And he said, I don't condemn you, but you need to go and don't sin anymore. Lord, that was me. That was me to confess, to repent. And then when we humble ourselves, folks, we're never going to be able to find victory if we're not honest. Sometimes people come to the altar, and I say this in love, but they come to the altar and they know there's a need, but they're not ready to do business with the need they know they have. And they get up unfulfilled. Get up, I didn't really get what I needed. We have to start doing business with the things. If there's something in your marriage, if there's something in your relationship with your parents, if there's something in your private life, if there's a problem that's been in the congregation, things going on, to be able to come and start looking at myself in honesty before God and say, Lord, I don't want to live under this cloud anymore. The Lord will do a divine work. He said He will forgive us. And how much will He forgive? How long will He forgive? He will forget our sins. Isn't that wonderful tonight? Do you realize I was so blessed, and I know Brother Tom's not here tonight, but I think it was last meeting or the meeting before, and I was just listening online. I was at home, and I heard him get up, and I think he was going to sing a song, and he said he was feeling discouraged. I'm just repeating his testimony here. He said it was kind of the devil was bringing some things of his past, and the Lord said, what sin? In other words, it's under the blood of Jesus. You realize, I said, our forgetter's not as good as God sometimes, but He doesn't want us to live under the cloud of the past. He can come in and take any sin, any failure. And you know, when you know what is good and right, young folks, and you fall short of that, there can be such a sense of guilt and shame. If we just bring that to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. The Lord will forgive, and He will cast your transgressions far from you, and He will forget those things, thank the Lord, and I thank God for it, and He will begin that process of healing to get us out of the cloud. I don't have to live in shame anymore. And I can look people in the eye, and I can have a clear heart when I put my hand up and say, I'm saved. I used to be that way, but by the grace of God today, He's done a work in my life. Oh, the Lord is in the business of restoring. He's in the business of restoration. You remember the story there over there in Jeremiah when the potter was working with that clay? What happened to that vessel he was making? It marred in his hands, but the Lord didn't throw it out. So was that vessel marred because of sin I committed? Or maybe I feel like I've been marred because of what someone else did to me. And yet the Lord looked on that vessel that marred, and He made another vessel. He made, because He wanted all of us to be useful and productive, that maybe I'm not holding water, but you can put a flower in the pot. Maybe you could, He would make me into something that would be useful and beneficial. The Lord is still doing that in hearts and lives tonight. He's still doing that, releasing us from the bondage of the past. I think about, isn't this where Peter had to come to in his failure? He went out and he wept bitterly, did he not? And yet we find him going back to the disciples. And do you think he slunk in? We find on the day of Pentecost, he was out boldly preaching the word of God. Why? What? He had to get out from under the cloud. He had failed. What about brother Jonah? You know, I kind of cringe when the Lord brought that thought to me. Brother Jonah. I'd rather just call him Jonah. But do you know the Lord had a purpose? And he repented. And the Lord used him again. The Lord wants to do that with all of us if you are under a cloud. And I know Jonah went from cloud to cloud. But the Lord still worked in his life. The Lord still had a purpose for him. And then we look at John Mark. You know there was a cloud over John Mark in the gospel work? There are some things that happen that Paul's like, I really don't want him on this journey anymore. I really don't want him to go on this. And then later we find that John wasn't under that cloud anymore, was he? He said, hey, send him on. He is needful for me in the gospel. He had proven by his life, John had, I'm not going to live under a cloud. He could have lived in shame. It's like, well, Paul just doesn't want me with him, so I must not be good for anything, so I won't do anything, and I'll just go to my corner. Folks, that's the devil that does that. Don't go to your corner tonight, but come to the cross. Come to the cross. And Lord, I want to show through faithfulness day by day. And the Lord wants to use us and deliver us from that cloud. Thank the Lord he made that other vessel. So whether tonight it is the shame of the past, it might be what others have done this evening. It might be that I'm living in a place that I'm under a cloud because I feel like what others have done. Do you know this is a place to get out from that cloud, that we have to release some things? Because, well, if you knew what my wife did, and so everything in my life would start revolving around how she did me. If I want to get out from under that cloud, I have to come to a place, or I really should have turned that around, not put her on the spot. If you knew what he did. See, in families where the enemy is working, it takes forgiveness. It takes stop the blaming. Stop saying, but you did this, and pretty soon you're talking about what happened 10 years ago, and 20 years ago, and 30 years ago. You're living under a cloud the Lord wants to liberate, but it means you're going to have to let some things go and forgive and bring that to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to live under this cloud anymore, but I want that joy to be restored in the home and in my soul, and the Lord is in that business. Oh, tonight I appreciate your attention, but all of us, all of you, are needful in the body of Christ. We need each and every one of you. And it's not for one to look at one member and say, oh, we have no need of you. But folks, we cannot be operating optimally if we are living under a cloud. We can't function properly. We can't be the fathers. To the fathers here tonight, we can't be the fathers that God wants us to be if we're living under a cloud. We can't be the husbands God wants us to be when there's this cloud that we're just living under. The Lord wants to bring some deliverances and some healings. The mothers and the wives, you can't be the spouse that you ought to be living under this perpetual cloud of shame and guilt and blame. And the Lord wants to bring restoration. So tonight, as we sing a song, I would just like to remind us again as we close, the Lord loves you tonight. And when you go home, go back to your place of sleep this evening, I want you to remember that the Lord cares about you. And he does not want you to live under a cloud, but he wants to restore and renew joy and happiness and peace because of his presence. Amen.